You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Cleveland Browns Radiothon kicks off Tuesday, September the 15th at 9 a.m. for 28 straight hours right here on ESPN 850. It's your chance to bid on amazing Browns experiences and prizes exclusively on air, including a charter fishing trip with Joe Thomas, attending Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, heading to a Cavs game with Joe Hayden, traveling with the Browns to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and much, much more. More prizes and experiences can be bid on now on the Browns mobile app and Cleveland Browns. .com.
So, just going into the Radiothon, which is going to be my first Radiothon, so I'm excited for that. Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to do Cleveland Browns Daily in this slot, and then I believe Wednesday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., you and I are going to be doing a show again.
Yeah.
And then who else are you joining as a part of any other show?
I don't think I'm doing Cleveland Browns Daily with you one of the days.
And, it's Donovan and Deacon. And what show are you joining?
You want Golden Boys, Nathan, I think?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be fantastic. Must-listen radio. Is that Tuesday or Wednesday?
It's Tuesday.
I don't know, Matt.
All right. I'm going to podcast. I'm going to have the app open on a computer. I'm going to have Browns.com on
my
iPad.
Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, and I'll have my headphones in while I'm driving, which is illegal just to listen to that show.
All right. Thank you. You be careful out there, Matt Wilhelm. Don't do anything dangerous, okay? It's going to be good. You can just cozy up in a recliner. You can stay right here in studio and just enjoy it. Yeah, drink some wine.
Have a fire going.
Yeah, have a steak. Roast a marshmallow.
Some high-quality radio.
Yes, yes. Lots of coverage of the 2018 draft on there for the Browns, I'm sure. All right. We are going to hear now from the offensive coordinator of your Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo.
This is a great challenge for us this week, you know, playing the New York Jets. It's, you're going up a defense with 7 first-round draft picks, and it's a great challenge for us. So, you know, we're excited for the opportunity to play against a great defense in a great venue in a great city. And I'm really thankful and proud of how where we are at this point with our coaching staff and our players. I think they've done a great job. And, again, we're excited about this opportunity. Open it up. Yeah, I'm going to lean back on Coach Pettine, the depth chart thing. You know, different personnel groupings have different depth charts. I told Dwayne, you know, we expect more out of him. And it was disappointing that he got hurt so early. And it's not all his fault that he hasn't been on the field. I mean, he didn't want to get hurt. So, I feel bad for the guy that he's in this predicament. But, you know, at the same time, we need Dwayne to come along here and be a big part of what we're doing. Dwayne's been great. He's been great since he stepped foot in this building. He really has. I mean, he for a guy that's had as much success as he's had, he's bought into what we're doing, bought into our plan, bought into playing like a Brown. Like I said, he's just had a little bit of case of bad luck.
Is it purely injury? Because, you know, for the untrained eye, it looked like on that one throw on the sideline, he didn't really go after.
It's injury. It's injury with him. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, when you watch, the Kansas City-Arizona game was in our cut-ups this week, you know, in terms of obviously we were getting ready for Todd Bowles, and so he was at Arizona last year, so we're watching a lot of Arizona tape. The Kansas City game was in our cut-ups, and you can just tell that he's just holding back a little bit with that hamstring. So we got to get him healthy, and I'm really excited for Dwayne when he does get to that point.
Hey, John, we've heard a lot about Josh McCown almost being another coach out there.
Yeah.
How much does that help you?
Oh, it helps me a ton. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm the first one, the first meeting with the players. You know, there's two sure things. It's you're going to pay taxes, and I don't have all the answers. And I told those guys our first meeting, and it's been great to have Josh there as I wouldn't say a sounding board, but a voice of reason. You know, saying, hey, you know, have you thought about doing it this way? And I've come to learn with Josh, and just with my past experience with Josh, knowing that he's not just going to come and tell you something if he really doesn't believe in it. He's not just going to, you know, throw stuff on the wall and see if it sticks. So it's been great for me. And, you know, if you have a veteran quarterback, you know, I had Carson Palmer, if you don't have a huge ego, you can learn a lot from those guys and the way they see the game. So it's been awesome having Josh here in that type of role.
Instrumental in getting him to come here when he had other opportunities to go places like Buffalo. What role did you play in that?
I would like to say Mary Kay played a major role, but you know, you'd have to ask him that. I can tell you this: I was in contact with him very soon after he got released. You know, and Josh and I had stayed in contact throughout, you know, our time since 2007. So it's not like I was calling him out of the blue. And you know, he and I had talked, you know, several times. But you know, the day he got released, I contacted him and you know, just wanted to talk to him and see where he was at. And you know, I didn't know where Josh was at the point. I know he had been out of the league for a while. I didn't know if he was going to go back to Charlotte and coach his son's high school football team and baseball teams and those things. But I just wanted to see where he was at. And then as we went along the process that got further down the road, we started talking about him becoming a Cleveland Brown.
Team obviously thought not the heart on the ring here, but Pettin said the other day that he's more than you guys have thought he was. So does that comment resonate with you?
Yeah, I tell you, Brian, we've been so fortunate with Brian. If you looked up the word professional in the dictionary, Brian's name would probably be right there. I mean, he just does everything right. He comes to work every day, keeps his mouth shut, does the right thing, is always in the right spot for the quarterback, never fools the quarterback. You know, I can't say enough good things about Brian Hartline at this point. And obviously, his preseason play showed that.
Yeah, excuse me for interrupting.
No, you're fine.
But, he's one of several wideouts who you can make a case for deserving a role.
Yeah, you know, it's part of coaching is putting guys in the right places to make plays. And, you know, we spend a lot of time in our game planning process, I think, is, you know, putting guys in the right spots. And that's why, you know, if you looked at our playbook, we probably have more formations than a lot of people just because our guys have such different skill sets. And that's a good thing, is that you want to put them in different places to have success. So we're going to put Brian in places where he can succeed. I think it's helped him. I think, you know, from a coverage standpoint, I think it's helped him. I think he knows what a pre-snap triangle is, you know, looking at the linebacker and the safeties and those things. So it's not foreign to him when you're talking about cover two, when you're talking about cover three and those things. Those aren't foreign to him. The things that are, again, he still needs to – is a work in progress at is just the technique side of things. And like I said my last time up here, that I'm proud of the way Terrell's handled things. I still am. And he just needs to keep improving on those technique issues. And like I said, it's a shame he's been out too and not 100%. It's good to finally see him start to open up a little bit, but he's progressing nicely.
Have you seen enough for him to maybe want to make him active for Sunday?
You know, I'm going to let Coach Pettin handle the actives and inactives, and then we'll adjust the game plan from there.
What about the decision to use him at the quarterback spot with the read option? Mm-hmm. And why, you know, at the preseason finale, could you see that being a part of the offense?
Yeah, I mean, you want to experiment with things in the preseason, especially that fourth preseason game. I'd seen him do it before with success, obviously, and wanted to get him back there. I think it's always good to show and practice those things live. It's different practicing on the practice field and actually going into a game against an opponent and showing that facet of your offense. So I wanted to show it, see where we were at with Terrell, and you know, I thought he made two good reads.
John, the Browns beat the Jets. What are three keys on offense going to be?
I'm sorry?
The
first thing we need to do is own the line of scrimmage. Okay, we need to own the line of scrimmage both in the run game and in the pass game. The second thing is, I told our players, it's no one's ball but ours. It's no one's ball but ours. We can't turn the ball over. And then the third thing is, we're going to need to find a way to create explosive pass gains.
John, Isaiah Crowell, I don't think he had more than 17 carries in any game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see him? Can he handle that load, or does he need to? Are we going to have another?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll tell you this. He hasn't shown me anything that he can't do that. You know, I've been with backs in the past where you really worry about, from a fatigue standpoint, from a body composition standpoint, the way they're built, you know, that would worry about a guy that's, you know, have to carry the ball 20, 22 times a game. You know, Crow's a big guy. He's in great shape. So nothing has shown that to me that Crow can't be that workhorse for us.
Montgomery, et cetera, and he had quite a concern maybe about the running back's conditioning. Was Carell one of those, or where is his conditioning at?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it was, you know, talking about some guys that were hurt at the time that were probably hurt, you know, with muscle strains and those things. Crow he's been, I'm almost, I don't want to say this, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think he was almost at every practice off the top of my head. So, like I said, nothing's showing that he can't be that guy.
Has Crowell improved as a pass catcher? Obviously, they didn't throw the ball much through the backs last year, but that didn't seem to be something he did necessarily naturally. Has he been better since you got him?
He has gotten better. He has gotten better. To say that that's his number one strong suit is probably not the case, you know, but he has gotten better. You know, he's gotten a lot more patient in the screen game. You know, he was a little bit quick early on when we first got here. He's been a little bit more patient in the screen game, which I've been happy about. He's gotten so much better. So, for me to say that that's his number one strong suit, I would probably say that's not the case. He's a really, really hard runner.
Is Colin plays any different at this level than in college? Is there any uncertainty in your mind heading into week one?
No, it's not. And again, maybe this is a lack of ego thing. I mean, I did it at San Jose State, and I didn't care anymore about those games when we were playing, you know, Fresno and Boise, and believe me, I cared just as much then as I do now. And, you know, the play clock's still the same in the regular season as it is in the preseason, and we didn't have any delay of games. You know, we had a substitution issue one time, which we were fortunate that Johnny took care of. But to me, it's not much of a change. I'm sorry.
What have you seen in the office that just gives you most confidence?
You know, I've been really pleased with Josh McCown. I'm really pleased with Josh. I think Josh has played really well. I really do. I think Josh gives the offense, you know, some stability and some calm in that he's going to get us into the right play. He's going to get us into the right protection. Most every look that he's seen before at some point in his career. So that gives us a sense of comfort that, you know, Josh is going to go out there and perform well. You know, I told all of our guys this morning, no one needs to go out and play like Superman for us to win this game on Sunday. Just go out, do your job, and we'll be just fine.
John, talk a lot about having a lot of plans for Duke Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
With all the time he's missed, do you have to scale some of that back, or do you think that he can still put a lot on his plate?
It's a fine line. Yeah, absolutely, it's a fine line. I think when you're in the situation that Duke is, I think you do the things he's done well before, you know, before he got hurt, like in spring. I'd be really leery of putting a lot of new things on Duke, you know, with his lack of playing time, with only a week, you know, to get ready for a game. But, you know, as you guys saw in spring, we did a lot with him that he got exposed to. So there's not a lot more you can do with a running back that we haven't done. So I'm fine with Duke on where he's at right now.
Younger 36. Yeah. How refreshing is it to have a guy who's clearly not playing out the string, that he's out there, yeah, you know, with kind of that boyish enthusiasm?
Yeah, and the guy can 360 dunk, you know? So, I mean, it's, you know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's like, I mean, you never know he'd have a 17-year-old daughter. I mean, that's the thing with Josh. I mean, he's out there, he's got juice every day, and you know, he and I are very much alike in that way. So that's one reason, you know, he and I get along so well, and it's great to have him out there. I mean, it's just fantastic.
With him last in Oakland?
How's he grown? I think he understands football a lot more in terms of the protection side of thing, the coverage part of it, those types of things. He's seen a lot more. I mean, I'm not a very good mathematician, but since 2015, that's 8 years of football. So just an overall understanding of the game, he's greatly improved.
I told you, like, I'm not a personality. That there was the offensive coordinator for Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo. Says nobody has to play like Superman. I agree with that. I don't think anybody can play like Superman on this offense. That's not the way it's built. They're going to have to grind it out. They're going to have to be efficient. They're going to have to take care of the football, and they're going to have to finish drives when they get down into the red zone against this Jets team if they want to get the job done. When we come back, we'll take a couple phone calls, and we'll also do the defense position-by-position matchup between the Jets and, of course, the Cleveland Browns as we get you ready for the season opener this Sunday.